you're here this morning, and we're so excited to have all of our children, 4 years old and up, in the room. Can we clap our hands for them to make them feel welcome? I'm sure you saw it as you came on the property today, but we've got a live petting zoo, and well, it's good that they're alive, I guess, but we've got a petting zoo out there and a live nativity. That's what I meant to say, and I hope you enjoy that after the service. They'll be sticking around for about 30 minutes. The service is just 1 hour long, and so if you're keeping track, we've still got a little time left, but we're almost done. And then after the service, we'll also have a tasty treat for every single child and maybe a few of the big children here in the room. And again, we just can't tell you enough how excited we are that you're here. If we haven't met before, my name's Pastor Ryan. I'm the senior pastor at Christ Covenant Church. And really, I was thinking about Christmas as we all approach it tomorrow. And if you've got children or maybe you've got grandchildren that are going to be with you this Christmas, you know that one of the big things for them is the presents, right? I know even my son, he had a hard time sleeping last night because he could not wait to open up presents. And my son is 4.5 years old. His name is Luke. And we've also got a 3-week-old baby girl, Nora. And you can clap your hands. And she really doesn't know what's going on just yet, right? She doesn't understand the season that we're in, but my son does. And I remember even last year when he was 3 years old, and he was just so excited for presents. I mean, that's a good thing to be excited about. And so last year when he was 3, my wife gave him one of those catalogs from Target. You've seen those before. And it's dangerous, but we did it. And she gave it to him, and we just said, hey, son, just find some things that you would like and just circle them. So it was a big deal to him. Imagine 3 years old, and he circled a lot of stuff. No lie, my wife's here at the front. I think he went through it maybe 10 times or more, just making sure he didn't miss what he wanted. And I remember to last year, he circled a Star Wars scooter, and he actually got that. He also circled a $1,500 ball pit. He circled a laptop, remember, 3 years old. He circled a VR headset, and he didn't get those, by the way, but he was excited about these presents. And that's a good thing. As parents and grandparents, we like that. We enjoy giving a gift to them and seeing their face light up. We love that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But even last year when he was 3, my wife and I knew, because he's understanding more about Christmas, we've got to make sure that he understands the real meaning for Christmas. We're not anti-present, don't get me wrong. There's presents around our Christmas tree just like there probably is around yours. But we just knew that we had to be intentional from a young age that he would know the real reason for the season, the reason why we've gathered here today to celebrate and worship Jesus. And so we've done things to help him with that. We've done things like baking a birthday cake for Jesus. Maybe you've done that before, maybe you haven't. We've done things like sending him to the store. We did this last year and told him to go pick out toys for somebody else. It's actually called Operation Christmas Child, where you can gather toys together and put them in a shoebox. And usually they find a child. Like if you've got a daughter, they'll find someone else's daughter. If you have a son, they'll find someone else's son in a country that they don't normally get gifts. And the kids gather them together. And our son did that last year. And we put a note in there and a picture of our family. And we sent it off. We're doing things to teach him the reason for the season. But one of my favorite things that we do every year, something that I think is so important for us, you don't have to do this, but this is us, is before we open up presents on Christmas morning, that's our flow, it's how we do it. Before we get to all of that, we make sure we read the Christmas story. I turned to Luke, which were some of the verses I read to you a moment ago, and we don't do that whole production, okay? There's not orchestra music behind me whenever I'm reading it. I just open up the Word of God, and I just read a few verses from Luke about the Christmas story because we want him to know what Christmas is really about. And I was thinking about this and the Christmas story, and I've got a couple of verses I want to read to you. They actually don't come out of Luke. They come out of Matthew, the first gospel, the first book of the New Testament. They're not going to be on the screen, but here's what they simply say. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And I want you to pay attention just for a few moments here. We're almost done. But I want you to pay attention to that phrase there, what Emmanuel means, God with us. Would you think on that for just a moment. It's powerful. And really, if I could just be transparent with you, that phrase, God with us, has wrecked my heart for the last three Christmases. Think about a king that was willing to give up his throne, to come down to earth, to rescue us, to be with us, to be with me, and to be with you. That blows my mind. It stirs me up because he's a king. And think about it. He could have sent anyone. He could have created something or someone to be our rescuer. He could have figured out another way. I mean, he's God and we are not, but he wanted to come himself to be with you because he loves you. And when I think about Christmas, I can't get past that phrase that God is with us, that he was compelled. Nobody twisted God's arm or bribed him to come rescue us. He came gladly and willingly, put on human flesh. He was born a baby in a manger. And what we've done, and I'm at fault for this as well, but we've taken something so beautiful, something so sacred, and we've commercialized it. And again, there's nothing wrong with presents, don't get me wrong, but we've got to go back to what the first Christmas was all about, that God loved you and I so much that he came himself on the best rescue mission that there's ever been to pick us up and to pull us out of the sin that we were in. He didn't let anything or anyone stop him. It reminds me of this father I heard about in Armenia, the country. Back in 1989, maybe you've heard of this, maybe you haven't, there was a massive earthquake that hit in Armenia, and it was devastating. Really, in an instant there in 1989 in that country, 30,000 people lost their lives. Devastating earthquake. And I remember hearing about this father that when it happened, at the time, he had a son who was in elementary school. And after the earthquake just kind of subsided and he kind of came to thinking about, oh, what do I do next? Where's my boy? All this kind of stuff. He remembered that his son was at school after he had gotten past the shock. So this father, a good father, what did he do? He instantly got in his car and even through the rubble, through the wreckage, where did he drive? He drove to that school. What was once a building erected was now a building crumbled. When most dads and moms would turn away, this father didn't. He goes there and gets out of his car and he goes to the exact spot that he knew his son's classroom was at, that used to be up, was now just in pieces, crumble all around. Moms and dads were showing up left and right because their kids were at the school too. They were crying out for their children. Tears of pain. I mean, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, like you can relate to this feeling of desperation. What am I gonna do? These moms and dads would show up, they'd cry out, but then they would leave. But not this dad. This dad stayed. And if you've ever been around an earthquake of this magnitude before, probably not, but maybe a few in the room, what can happen when buildings crumble like this? There can be little explosions that happen, and it's really dangerous to be amongst the wreckage. And they were trying to pull this dad away, but he wouldn't stop. He loved his son too much. He wouldn't give up. In fact, the fire marshal showed up at the school. They had pulled almost everybody else away, and the fire marshal pulled rank and said, "You've got to go. You could be killed. You've got to leave." But the dad wouldn't leave. He began to dig. He dug for hours. His hands were bloodied and mashed up, but he kept digging. 5 hours go by, and this dad is digging to the point of exhaustion. 10 hours. Go by, can't stop, won't stop. He remembered the promise he had given his son years before, that I'll always be there for you. I'll never let you down. If you're in trouble, I'm coming. 10 hours become 15 hours, then 25 hours straight. He's way past adrenaline by this point, and he's digging for his son. He's holding out hope that he can rescue him, that he can save him. 30 hours go by, 35 hours eventually. The 40th hour, he hears a noise underneath the rubble. He hears some young kids chattering, and so he does what all of us would have done in the room. He yells his son's name, "Armand, I'm here. Armand, can you hear me?" He waits moments that feel like minutes, and eventually he hears his son call back, "Dad, I'm here." And not just me, but 13 other of the people in my class, they're here with me. And I told them, "Dad, that if you were alive, you would rescue me. I told them that you would come for me. You made a promise, Dad, and you always keep your promises. And so I said to them, hold on, because if you save me, they better believe you're gonna save them too." See, what had happened was, it was a phenomenon, really. It was a miracle. But when the building had collapsed, it had almost formed a wedge in their classroom, a triangle that had trapped them underneath the rubble but left them unharmed. So that father, he picked up the remaining rocks and he pulled his son to safety. And friend, that's what Jesus did for us. He didn't let anything, he didn't let anyone stop him from rescuing us. It's what Christmas is all about. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you close your eyes all across this room? No one talking, please. No one looking around. No one distracted. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I love what Psalm 23, verse 6, the beginning of it says out of the Message paraphrase. Talking to God, it says, "Your beauty and your love chase after me every day of my life." You see, friend, you may have came in this morning, Christmas Eve, kind of fulfilling your obligation, so to speak. Oh, I've got to go to church on Christmas. You may have came in and when you assess your life, when you look at the decisions you've made, I'm talking to the youngest and the oldest and everywhere in between. You may have came in and when you look at what you've done and what you've been thinking about and the decisions you've made, when you look at your life, there may be a huge separation between you and God. And you hear a story like this, and more than that, you just sense God tugging at your heart this morning saying, "You know what? I see that you're far from me, but I want that to change." Jesus wants to rescue you today. He wants to rescue you this morning. So if you're far from him, if you look at your life and you know that there's sin that separates you, no one's got to tell you it's there. You know it's there. I'm going to give you a chance on this Christmas to allow God to reach down into that pit and rescue you. You've got to receive him. He won't pull you out if you don't want him to. But if you desire to see your relationship made right with Jesus, if you put your trust in him, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, so that you could be forgiven of every mistake, every sin, if you want to put your trust in him today for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, with no one looking but me, eyes closed, heads bowed, I'm not going to make you stand, I'm not going to embarrass you, not gonna make you come to the front, even though honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. But right where you're seated, I wanna know who I'm praying for today. You can't make a better decision on Christmas than to give your life, your everything to him. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you wanna recommit or commit for the first time your life to Jesus Christ, can you slip your hand into the air so I can see it? Yes, see that hand. Keep it up for a moment. See that hand, see that hand, see that hand. Thank you, Lord. See that hand, see that hand. Anybody else? Christians, you're praying in the room. Keep it up for a moment. It's the best decision. This is the best part of our day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Don't miss your moments. You can put your hands down if it's been up. I see you in the back. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. It's why we do what we do. No one's looking, please. Just me. I see it. You can put it down in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Don't miss your moment. God's tugging at your heart. Jesus, we love you. We love you. So good. Eyes still closed, heads bowed. If you raised your hand a moment ago, and there was many, to God be the glory. Or if you're also a Christian in the room, both those groups, you raised your hand wanting to commit or recommit your life to God, or you're already a believer in Jesus Christ, you feel secure about your eternity where you're gonna spend it. Both those groups, I'm gonna ask you to repeat a prayer after me. The reason why I ask the Christians to repeat that prayer is it's a sign of support. There's nothing fancy or magical about this prayer, but if you're in those two groups, God's word promises us in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if you repeat after me in just a moment, but more than that, if you'll believe it in your heart as you're confessing out loud, God promises that you can know that you know that you know where you're gonna spend eternity, that you're passing over from death to life. All the Christians in the room and those that raised their hand a moment ago, I want you to repeat this, and even more than that, mean it with me out loud. Here we go. Repeat after me. Say this. Dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me so much that you came to this earth to rescue me. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. You rose from the dead so that I could be saved and set free. Forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I commit my life to you. I love you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate in this place? Can we clap our hands? Thank you, Lord. Wow. Awesome. So good. Would you stand to your feet with me? Today we thought of no better way than to end the service for all the festivities outside than singing together, O Holy Night. So if you would, if everybody could stand to your feet if you're able to, and put your eyes to the team behind me as I move to the side, and let's sing this one last Christmas carol together.